Praise be Jesus and Mary. In today's Gospel, we read how Our Lady is named twice, once in a human way and once in a divine way. We're told by St. Luke that the Virgin who was betrothed to Joseph had the name of Mary, the name which her parents gave her. And then in the very next verse, St. Luke writes, "And coming to Mary, invoking her name again, the angel said, 'Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you. Hail, full of grace.'" And that was the name that God gave to the Blessed Virgin. The two names go together. Whenever we invoke the name of Our Lady, we are invoking she who is full of grace. The angel doesn't say that she is the one who is full of grace, but he uses full of grace as her name. It is the way of identifying who she is. She is the one that God has prepared to be the mother of his Son. She is the temple which God made with his own hands, and she comes to be identified in this wonderful way, in the way in which the Church has defined her as the Immaculate Conception. And at Lourdes again, she basically said her name. When Bernadette asked her what her name was, who she was, she kept asking over and over. Our Lady said, "I am the Immaculate Conception." And this is why we invoke her name. This is why we celebrate the feast of her name. Mary means, according to tradition, Star of the Sea, because Our Lady announces the rising of the sun. She is the one who is brought into the world in the fullness of time so that God can become a man. And we invoke that name of Mary for the same reason that we invoke the name of Jesus. St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Philippians that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, both above the earth, on the earth, and below the earth. The angels, men, and the demons all bow at the name of Jesus, because he who was in the form of God did not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but he humbled himself and took the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. Every knee shall bow at the name of Jesus, because God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, became a man and took a human form with a human face and was given a human name by his mother. He humbled himself to be born in our form. And Our Lady is taken up into that mystery. Because of her humility and obedience, because of her great faith, because of her fullness of grace, she becomes the vessel of God and the one who brings him into our world and gives him to us. And she, therefore, is associated with the mystery of the Incarnation and our salvation in a wonderful way, in a unique, absolutely unique way. And so we praise, you know, at the beginning of our homilies, we say, praise be Jesus and Mary, these two names together. And not only do we praise this name and invoke it as our grace, but we also invoke it as a kind of exorcism, because every knee shall bend, every power and dominion trembles at the name of Mary. This feast day that we celebrate today on September 12th is a remembrance of the victory of the Christian forces under King John Sobieski III in Vienna in 1683, where the Christian forces were vastly outnumbered, and the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims at the time, had Vienna under siege, and through the invocation of Our Lady's name, God manifested his power, and the Christian forces overcame. This is about a 100 years after, a little more than 100 years after the Battle of Lepanto, in which something very similar happened. The Pope had asked the Christian forces to pray the rosary, and they went into the Bay of Lepanto, which is now the Bay of Corinth in Greece, to face off the Ottoman Empire there, because the Pope had great concern that Europe would be overrun by the Muslims and Christianity would be threatened in its very cradle. And through a turn of the wind, the Christian forces were victorious because they had invoked the name of Our Lady. And the same thing happened at Vienna, and at the end of the battle, John Sobieski, repeating the words, sort of paraphrasing the words of Julius Caesar and inverting them, turning them on their head, said, "I came, I saw, and God conquered." And that's something that we have to remember throughout our spiritual life and our life in the church and in the world today, when the forces of evil seem to be so set against the practice of our holy religion and our fidelity to Jesus Christ. It's not our strength, but the strength of God. The martyrs conquer in the name of Jesus. Those who persevere, persevere because they are joined to Him and joined to Our Lady and through her to Jesus. And it is our great hope. It is a great hope of all the prophetic saints of our age, like, you know, Saint Bernadette and Saint Catherine of Labouré, Saint Maximilian Kolbe, Saint Pius X, Saint Louis de Montfort, Saint John Paul II. The great prophetic grace is to appreciate the power of Our Lady in history and in our modern times. And we need to pray, you know, for our own age, our own moment in history, when again, the practice of our faith is threatened, you know, on both sides of the equation, from the fanaticism of Islam and, you know, this radicalism of the East and the kind of rationalism of the West. You know, Pope Benedict in Regensburg in, I believe it was 2009, 2006 actually, 2006, 2007, his criticism wasn't only about Islam, he was also criticizing the West. You have fanaticism among the Muslims who have faith without reason, and you have rationalism among our contemporaries here in the West because they have reason without faith. And both of them lead to the same kinds of consequences, and so it's easy to understand why the West has been so incapable of dealing with the persecution of Christians in Iraq and Syria, and still sort of fumbling around about what we're going to do about ISIS, when the Holy Father asked them to stop. He says, "I don't want any more wars, but somebody needs to stop this." So our present administration fumbles around trying to figure out what they're supposed to do about ISIS, but they seem to know exactly what to do about the Little Sisters of the Poor, you know, who just want to provide care for the poor, elderly, and sick. They know exactly what they want to do there. They want to force the Little Sisters of the Poor to provide abortion and contraception. And yet we can't figure out what we're supposed to do about people who are killing Christians and other religious minorities, because we don't have God on our side. We don't have the Blessed Mother on our side. We're not doing the right thing for the right reasons and putting our trust in the providence of God and not in the force of arms or in the forces, you know, of coercion against people who wish to practice their religion freely. So let us then invoke Our Lady as a blessing and as a great exorcism over the world in which we live today, asking her to intercede for us and to protect us and to be with us in the midst of all the difficulties we experience. We know that we will ultimately be victorious because God will be victorious, and even if we should experience persecution and even the loss of our life, not a hair of our head, you know, remains uncounted. You know, nothing will happen to us that God does not will and that He doesn't bless with His divine providence. We will be rewarded for our fidelity. Let us ask for that before anything else, for the wisdom and grace to be faithful to Jesus Christ, no matter what the cost, that we might always bend our knee to his name and the holy name of his mother. Praise be Jesus and Mary. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.